To the Revel Wireless Hotline we go, and we are so pleased to bring in a great friend of this show and of mine, Sal Palantonio from ESPN. Sal, I want to start with the Browns because I know that's a team that you watch as close as any of the many that you track. And I'd like to get your impressions as this team falls into the lull period now between now and the start of training camp of what your thoughts are of the state of this team.
Well, my observation is based on talking to a lot of people around the league, Vic, and I think what you have now is the beginning of a fresh start that I think a lot of people around the league are watching. You're in, I think, the toughest division in the league. Everybody talks about the NFC West and the NFC East, but I think the division with the Super Bowl champ Ravens and the Browns and the Bengals and the Steelers, you know, you're always fighting against three teams with legitimate Super Bowl aspirations in Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. And so I think it's very tough. And what you have is now you have a core of six guys on the Browns. And when you talk around the league, that's what they look at. You know, they're looking at Joe Banner, the team president, Mike Lombardi, your GM. I think the world of Ray Farmer, your assistant general manager, has got a lot of experience around the league. And then your three coaches, Chizinski is the head coach, and then Norv. And then, you know, I think the most underrated offseason acquisition was Ray Horton, your defensive coordinator. So I think you got a core of six guys who around the league people respect and they know what they're doing. The flip side of that is you're in the toughest division in the NFL and you wake up with really the fourth best quarterback in the division. And then just this morning getting ready for your program, I started to look at your schedule. Your schedule is like the Bataan Death March. It's tough. I mean, I'm looking at it, I'm saying to myself, if I'm Rob Chizinski, the one thing I got to do is I've got to get ready for Miami at home on September 8th. Because last year, you beat the Eagles by a point, and things didn't really go so well after that. You only won four more games.
Well, actually, I ended up losing to the Eagles.
But
should have won.
They should have won the football game. Losing to the Eagles by a point. Excuse me, I misstated that. This year, I think you have to win that opener because of the next nine games, I only really see two that give you a legitimate chance to win the way things are configured in the league right now. So I think they've got to make a big statement on September 8th against the Miami Dolphins, and everything should be focused on winning that ball game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you got to get this thing off to a strong start. And they start with an obstacle. The obstacle is that Josh Gordon won't be available for those first two games because of the suspension.
Yeah, that's a big obstacle. But I think the most important thing is when you look at it, you got to look at the general picture of the team. And what's, to me, the most important thing that the Browns have to fix is in a league where everybody scores points, you only scored 18.9 points per game last year. And I think everything will be focused on what Norv Turner can or cannot do with Brandon Whedon and whether or not Trent Richardson can carry the load and stay on the football field and whether or not they can score more points. If you're scoring less than 20 points per game, it's a struggle. Your team cannot stay on the field on third down. You know, you ranked 30th last year in third down conversions offensively. That's just bad. And to me, where the significant improvement must take place. I was really kind of surprised, and I think a lot of people around the league were kind of surprised, that this team did not take a quarterback high up. That the future of the team at the quarterback position, which everybody knows, just hit your save get key, is the number one position on the field now in the NFL, that you decided to put one more year into the development with Brandon Whedon without really a line of succession in place if that fails.
Right. It is all – it is Brandon Whedon or bust pretty much.
Yes.
And I think the trust is that North Turner and his – not only his technical coaching of Whedon, but his play calling, Sal, to your point about improving scoring, just finding ways to maximize what this team has in offensive assets and the presumption that, well, they'll have him for 14 games, that Gordon is going to be a better player, that Greg Little is going to be improved, that you what you mentioned about Trent Richardson comes to fruition, that they find a way to make the most of what they have with the offensive assets. But the biggest one is Whedon, and I think there's a lot of stock rightfully put in North Turner's the North Turner account to deliver.
No, there is, and let's focus that play calling down to one thing. And I mentioned it just a second ago. He's got to call plays on third down that are successful. And by Matt, I mean they must be efficient. And by that, I mean he's got to get the team into a position where they're not in a lot of third and long like they were last year, and give this quarterback and this offense a chance, you know. But he's got limited assets to work with, so there's going to be a lot of focus on North Turner and whether or not he can really work some miracles, for lack of a better term, Vic,
yeah,
with what he's got there. When you play Flacco and Roethlisberger and Dalton in that division, your quarterback must be efficient on third down. You got to. That will also help keep your defense off the field. It all works together. Everybody knows that. But in this particular case, for this particular team, in this particular year, they must be better on third down, and that falls on North Turner's shoulders.
Sal Palantonio from ESPN joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Sal, and I know you are very savvy at looking at film and breaking things down and looking at league trends, and I want to get into more of those trends with you. But one more Browns point with regard to their priority this offseason, which was focused on defense. You said they didn't go for a quarterback. What they did go for was an outside linebacker in Barkevious Mingo, sixth overall pick. And you saw what they did in free agency with Paul Kruger and Desmond Bryant, again, addressing that front seven, Quentin Groves. So all the stock has been put there. The hiring of Ray Horton to bring in this attack-oriented 3-4 scheme,
Horton.
And you love him. So
everybody around the league loves him.
How much do you think the Browns can close this gap that you talked about, this enormous gap in this very tough division via defense?
Well, it's not easy to do just via defense. I mean, your defense wasn't bad last year. In spots, it was, you know, it was very inefficient, but to me, the problem is more offensively. Your offense puts your defense on the field too much. I mean, you're in the bottom category in a lot of things statistically, but again, the stats don't really tell the full story. I think the Browns managed to find some explosiveness, and you are going to a 3-4, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to help. And Barkevious Mingo, I mean, he just looks like the next Jason Pierre-Paul. So, he has that kind of body type and speed and first step. And, you know, if he doesn't pan out, then you've got a big problem, because Paul Kruger, to me, is a guy that you really want on the field on third down more than anything else. So I like the moves that they've made defensively. But I'm going to bang this drum one more time. This team's got to score more points. This team's got to stay on the field on third down. That defense will benefit as a result.
What do you see? Where do you see the NFL going, especially in 2013, but also beyond, just based on a lot of what you track and trend on film review?
Well, I think two specific areas, Vic, and I went to eight teams this past spring. I just finished up with the Denver Broncos, and all over the NFL, including in Denver this spring, nearly every team has preached tempo, tempo, and tempo. Now, I was kind of surprised when I went out to Dove Valley and visited the Broncos. The Broncos under Peyton Manning last year averaged 68 offensive snaps per game, which was fifth best in the National Football League. And they want to speed that up. which was surprising to me, because to me, when you start to speed up the offense too much, then factors of inefficiency begin to creep in. I saw so much with the Eagles. I saw a little bit with the Giants and clearly with the Jets. And it's amazing to me. I did a little statistical breakdown based on, you know, just what I've seen and what was happening last year. Last year, four of the five top teams that led the league in snaps per game made the playoffs. The only one that didn't was Detroit, and they were second to New England. New England had 74 snaps a game, Detroit 72, the Colts 69, Texans 68, Broncos 68, Eagles 67. Of the top six, four of them made the playoffs, two did not, and those two were 4-12. So my point is this: be careful what you wish for if you just preach tempo, 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 and not efficiency. And when you go back at the two Super Bowl participants, the Baltimore Ravens were in the middle of the pack. They averaged 65 offensive snaps per game, and the league average was 64. San Francisco was in the bottom three at just 60 snaps per game. So it's not the be-all, end-all. It's not the elixir that a lot of these teams and offensive coordinators believe. You got to have the right quarterback who can recognize pre-snap, deliver the ball with timing and rhythm, and is very accurate and doesn't turn the ball over. Now, I go back to what I said about the Browns. It's so important these days to be efficient offensively when you're scoring points. I looked at this. I couldn't believe it, Vic, and I wanted to mention this to you on this show. In the final seven postseason games of 2012, from the divisional round through the conference championship games in the Super Bowl, only one team was held to under 20 points. That so-called offensive juggernaut, the New England Patriots, which led the league in points scored during the regular season. The Pats only scored 13 in the AFC championship game loss to the eventual Super Bowl winners, the Ravens. And that surprised me. In the final seven games, 434 points were scored. This is in the postseason. In the National Football League, teams averaged 31 points scored per game. Wow. You have to score points in the NFL, and it was very true in the postseason last year. If you couldn't score points, you couldn't keep up.
You mentioned one of the teams you visited. These are great statistical nuggets here that you're tossing out, Sal. But you mentioned one of the teams that you checked out in their offseason workouts was the Ravens. And I'm just curious, for all that they've undergone in the way of change on their roster, free agency and through the draft now and filling pieces there, what's your sense of how ready they are to do it again?
Well, my sense is this, and this brings up the second trend. It's so hard to play defense in the National Football League right now. It's very, very difficult. Who plays defense? And when you focus it down, who plays pass defense? And when you take it down one more level to sidewalk ground level, there are a lot of teams, and the Ravens are included in this, that are constantly changing their safeties. And safeties are so important because safeties, in a lot of cases, are the ones calling the pass defense. They're the center fielders. They're obviously the last lines of defense in pass defense. And that's why you see so many teams giving up so many big plays. You go back to the divisional round, the game I covered in Denver. I covered the Ravens for the final 6 weeks of the season, 38-35. Joe Flacco threw touchdown passes in that game of 70, 59, and 32 yards against a Denver Broncos defense that was very good during the season. The Broncos are the only team in the NFL that were top five in scoring offense and scoring defense last year. And the Ravens came in, and Flacco came in and dropped 38 on them. Why? The Broncos safeties broke down in that game. And the Broncos changed their – looks like they're changing their safeties since last year. The Ravens are changing their safeties. The Eagles are changing their safeties. You go around the league, Vic, It's a huge pattern, major league situation all over the NFL. Safety play is very difficult now in the National Football League because of the way the game is officiated and because the way the game is played. And if you don't have good safeties, teams are going to score on you, and then your offense is going to have to keep up. It's a very, very dicey situation.
Sal, I love the knowledge, man. Could talk all day with you, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us here, man.
Anytime, Victor.
He is Sal Palantonio, and he's on the Revel Wireless Hotline with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we've got much more coming up for you on this Football Wednesday edition on ESPN 850 WKNR.